Before we start this episode of CFD's Podcast for Good, let's give a little shout out to our presenting sponsor, WSECU. WSECU has been a part of the community since 1957 and has been supporting the CFD in a big way since 2011. Thanks to them, we were able to bring you spectacular events and promotions like the Masquerade Ball, Golf for Veterans Tournament, and our incredible First Week to Give, which has been responsible for raising tens of thousands of dollars in donations to charities throughout our community. For more on how WSECU serves charities throughout our community, visit www.wsecu.org/community. And of course, visit our website to find out more about our incredible partnership with WSECU. And now, here's the show.
Is my hair weird? Because you keep looking up at it. It's weird, right?
Well, no, I
is
just...
Is it poofy?
Well, there's like a weird curl in front. That made it worse. Terrible. What is going on?
I see him brushing it a little bit.
Okay, you should have just left it. It's just that, like...
Should I...
just like Elvis swoosh.
Do I have the one calic? It keeps getting really dry and weird, and I don't know if it's because
it's
of weather.
It's so strange that your hair can just, like, stay how your hair... Like, you just move it and it stays. My hair does not.
See, my hair normally doesn't do that.
I think it's because
you're
doing
it because it's short.
Yeah.
When it was longer,
like
it was like, I do what I want.
Yeah.
It's clearly doing what it wants now, but it is a little...
No, keep it right there. Don't touch it. Now it looks great.
Now it looks great. Okay. I don't know what I look like, but I look fabulous.
You look so great, Heather.
Oh, my God. Will you take my picture?
I can totally take your picture and we'll put it on the Facebook page.
Welcome to Season 3, Episode 36 of the CFD's Podcast for Good. My name is Heather Lucas. I am the Fiscal and Policy Coordinator. I am struggling with that title,
I swear.
I don't
know what's going on. You've had this title for how long?
4 years, maybe? Yeah, maybe 3 or 4 years.
No.
I should, but like sometimes I want to say program instead of policy.
I understand.
Right? And then I'm like, no.
Right.
I am the Fiscal and Policy Coordinator for the Combined Fund Drive.
Fact.
My name is Heather Lucas. That's who I am. Who are you?
I'm Jerrica Ferguson. I handle marketing and development for the Washington State Combined Fund Drive, and I am happy to be here.
Yay, I'm glad. Also, you're really good at your title.
Thank you. I've been saying it a lot.
Yeah. I've been saying mine a lot, but clearly it doesn't stick.
No. But I've also been like... I feel like I'm still coming off from training.
Yeah.
So I just feel like I've been like, I'm like have a repetition.
Yeah.
Of like, hi, welcome.
This is who I am. This is what I do. Hello, welcome. Hi.
Exactly. Hey. Like, just jiving.
Yeah. Nice.
Just going at it.
You're hustling.
Hustling. See, I'm still
every
a high
day.
Person.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Yeah. That's what we're doing.
Cool.
So, today,
what's our topic?
It is comprehensive mental health.
That is awesome.
Yes, comprehensive mental health. So, talked with Paul Berry, the executive director and founder for an organization called Thero.
Oh, yeah.
You know them?
Yeah, actually, yes, I do. They're in our program.
They are in our program, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Charities on the podcast are in our program.
Yeah.
Paul called in and we talked about comprehensive mental health, what that looks like, what, you know, things people can do to improve their mental health. They have some cool stuff going on, so we'll definitely talk a little bit more about that. But launching into it, question of the podcast, Jerrica Ferguson. This is a two-parter, essentially.
Okay.
What's your favorite and your least favorite talking points or social discussions surrounding mental health?
So I'm actually going to be able to answer this in one way.
Ooh.
So it's one of my favorite things to talk about.
Okay.
But it's also sometimes the hardest to talk about. So I love talking that I've gone to therapy.
Okay.
I love that we're just slowly chipping away this like taboo topic of saying that you've gone to therapy.
Yeah.
I do think though, it's one of my least favorite parts though, is hearing people still saying it's like taboo.
Yeah.
Because it frustrates me because I'm like, it's not a bad thing. It's an extra tool. It's an extra resource.
Mm-hmm.
Therapy rocks. It's so funny when I feel so comfortable talking about that I've gone to therapy, yeah, that when I feel like it helps other people be able to talk about it as well. So like the other night I was hanging out with some friends and I was like, yep, I think, you know, I might be deciding like to go back in just to like, you know, tune up some gears, you know, just to be able to talk with somebody just so I don't have maybe the stresses that I'm worried about or past things coming back up. And someone looked at me and was just like, I've been going to therapy. And I was like, that's awesome. And we high-fived and they were like, I had no idea that you went. And I was like, yeah, I've gone on and off throughout the years. And like, it just is a good tune up. And for them, they're like, this is the first time I've ever talked about it.
Wow.
And it, like out loud to friends. Yeah. And she's like, I had no idea I would have talked about it before. And I was like, that's the thing is we've created it so it's like something bad that like, mm-hmm. I mean, I remember growing up and hearing like, you don't want to talk about that or like, you know, that's just for like crazy people. Mm-hmm. And it's so frustrating that we hear those terms because it's not, it's for everybody. And like, you can really help yourself. You can, if you are having struggles with people around you, it can help you help with like dealing with those issues. Mm-hmm. It deals with internal and external problems that we all face, and it is, everybody is facing them.
Yes.
And so to be able to like, it is my favorite thing to talk that I've gone about therapy, mm-hmm. but it's also sometimes my least favorite thing when we talk about those social discussions because people don't want to talk about mental health.
Yeah.
And if they do, they just hear headlines and that's where the direction they want to go. Yes. And I think it's nice to like, when you finally get that one-on-one with somebody and you're like, I've done it.
Yeah.
And they're like, I had no idea. Like, I remember when I first told my parents that I went into therapy and they're like, why?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean, why?
You're like, because of you.
But like, do you want me to like really run down? And you know, something like, you don't have to do that. Therapy is for yourself.
Yes.
But I will say for myself, it has made me feel better to discuss openly about my, it's made me be able to talk about the issues that I've faced.
Sure.
Being able to say like, I've done it.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel better when other people can be like comfortable to talk about mm-hmm. themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you said therapy rocks. 110%. I agree.
Yeah.
I currently go to therapy.
Yeah.
And it is something that I felt when I first started, you know, of course there's some discomfort there.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. And then you are focusing on yourself and you're talking about things that are bothering you, things that are, that you feel like you need to fix.
Yeah.
Right. But it is definitely something that I feel that I need because mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about issues that I have that I feel are small or petty when it comes to like a family member or a friend or a coworker where I'm like, this isn't a big deal, but it really is bothering me right now. And I need somebody who is on the outside of my life to give me some kind of input, insight,
perspective.
To say, to say, you know what, this is what I think you should do.
Yeah.
Or does this really matter to you in the long run?
Right.
Like, give you a little bit of a different perspective mm-hmm. on how that mm-hmm. is really working in your life. Is this, does this matter in your life?
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe it does.
Yeah.
And you get to figure that out and kind of work on different things. But the thing that drives me the craziest when it comes to discussions about mental health is, you did kind of mention it, is like the headlines. If there's another tragedy with the shooting, if there's somebody who is like driving a car into a group of people, if there's a kid who's done something that's just a little off-putting or a little weird, or like if they're behaving oddly, suddenly they have mental health problems.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, you don't have to frame it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is it mental health problems? Is homelessness just mental health? Mm-hmm. No, it's not. Homeless people have a lot of things going on,
mm-hmm.
and it's not solely, they're all crazy.
I think that we need
to stop talking about it like that.
I think that mental health is used as like a negative thing.
Right? It
like,
is.
We need to start changing the topic of talking about how mental health is like, you can create mentally healthy behaviors for yourself, right? Like eating well, exercising, mm-hmm. those things are not just physical. And I think, you know, they have a direct link to your mental health and mental wellness.
Yes.
And I think that's where we need to really focus more things on is when we talk about mental health, is talking about mental wellness. And that involves therapy. That involves different forms of that. That may be right then and there in a presence of a person. That may be through new applications, through online mm-hmm. therapy, through phone calls.
You find the therapy that works for you.
Yep. And if like, if you're someone that moves around all the time, I was just talking to somebody a few weeks ago who went through therapy but did it through an online system because they travel for work all around the state. So they can't always know where they're going to be to have therapy, but they knew based off their past circumstances that they needed help.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were able to use organizations that they can have online counseling when it was able to find somebody that they could talk to on the phone for their meetings that worked just as well for him. And so I think that's the cool thing is like more people are being more aware about mental wellness.
Yeah.
And we need to stop thinking that when we talk mental health, it's always a negative.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And talking about mental health, it's not happening to a stranger. It's happening to you.
Yeah.
So acting like your mental health is this separate entity opposed to your physical health or your spiritual health or your financial health or your social health, like it is a component of your life.
Yes.
And it is happening to you right now.
Yeah.
So yeah, stop talking about it like it's a negative and that you don't have anything to do with
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
That drives me crazy. But we are going to talk to Paul Berry. He is the executive director with Thero. We're going to talk some comprehensive mental health. So here is that interview. So I'm here with Paul Berry, the founder and executive director of Thero. Paul, thanks for joining me on the podcast today.
Thanks, Heather. Yeah, I'm really excited to be here.
So can you give us a little history about Thero and what you do for the community?
A big part of what Thero is came from, I was in graduate school getting my doctorate in clinical psychology, and in that experience, I saw that the mental health field is very bad at getting people help, oddly enough. I had researched some in grad school, part of my dissertation was on help seeking, specifically for people with social anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, it takes about 7 to 10 years on average for people to get help. From the moment they say, you know, I think this is a problem and I'm noticing these symptoms starting to happen, 7 to 10 years is the average. And for me, that was just a really shocking thing.
Yeah.
So a big part of what we're doing is we are crowdsourcing the first comprehensive mental health resource directory that includes individual therapists like psychologists, psychiatrists, counselors, marriage and family therapists, things like that,
mm-hmm.
clinic hospitals, treatment centers, and crisis lines as well.
Okay.
And also the nonprofit organizations that do advocacy and support and education about mental health, all of those in one place on one website. And that's the first time that actually, I think, will exist. I haven't seen it anywhere else.
Yeah, that's kind of unusual. I mean, it's 2019. You'd think that would be something you'd have multiple of by now.
Yeah, I was surprised to find that, and there are different places around the internet that that have directories, but none mm-hmm. of them actually bring all of those resources together. And much like Wikipedia, which brings, I think they do a great job, and that's kind of an example that we're using. We believe that it should be free for therapists to find clients.
Okay.
And that it should be really easy for everybody to find mental health resources.
So for the directory and for your organization itself, are you serving and working in Washington State, or are you more localized or national? What areas do you serve?
We are national. Okay. We have about 22,000 resources listed right now. Most of those are clinic hospitals and treatment centers and the organization, because
mm-hmm.
We feel comfortable adding those resources ourselves because it's kind of those are businesses.
Okay.
But we're a national organization, but we're really focused on Washington too. I live on Orcas Island, and I'm a mental health crisis responder there for the county, and a big part of that job is trying to coordinate the resources, send people to inpatient centers or detain them and get them help if they have to.
Mm-hmm.
And that system is just really, really not working well either. And that's not unique to Washington or to Orcas.
Okay.
The San Juan Islands. I mean, in the islands, we have some logistical challenges in general, just with the landscape. But all across the nation, people are not getting the help that they need, and it's really having a huge impact on our culture and our society.
Yeah. So today's topic is comprehensive mental health. So what does comprehensive mental health mean to you, and what should that mean to the average person?
Well, a big part of when I thought about coming on the podcast, I think the biggest thing is it's about integration between the physical and the mental.
Okay.
A lot of people will treat mental health as if it doesn't really apply to them. They only think about it if it's a problem they or a family member or a friend has a mental health problem, and they don't really think about that their physical health is pretty much the same thing as mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's a really artificial divide that was created a long, long time ago. It probably started with Descartes, who said, "I think, therefore I am," and then you have a mind and a body, and those are two separate things.
Uh-huh.
But that's really played out in the medical field, in the mental health field, almost as if they're separate groups of people. Medical doctors, they've trained a lot, but a lot of it is medical is focused on physical often, and medical doctors don't know a lot about mental health treatment often. And vice versa, a lot of the mental health professionals don't know enough about the medical problems that people have. So when I think about comprehensive health, it's really integrating those two things together, the physical and the mental.
Okay.
And not just with the individual integrating those two things together and thinking about their health in that way,
mm-hmm.
but also about the systems, the medical and the mental health systems integrating together and being able to refer and know what resources are what and which ones are the better ones there.
So you definitely talked a bit about physical health there, and of course we're oversaturated with physical health and everyone knows they need to exercise their bodies, but mm-hmm. good mental health practices, they don't get that much press compared to physical. So mm-hmm. what are some basic things that we could all just do to improve our mental health? Like any kind of practices or tips that you've got out there?
Yeah, I think there's a ton, but I would say the biggest ones you've probably heard before, and it's not anything novel, so
mm-hmm.
it's not recreating the wheel. It's getting good sleep.
Okay.
It's eating a good diet. And again, these are a lot of the same things that you would do for physical health.
Yeah.
But one of the big things that people don't think about with their physical health is to actually have strong relationships.
Okay.
The bonding that people have together, it's something just we as humans, we are literally designed to be together and to be and to have strongly bonded relationships. And when we don't have that, you can see the physical health deteriorate, and you can see the mental health especially deteriorate. I would say if I had to say three things, it would be sleep well, eat well, and have good friendships.
Okay. Yeah, I would think that strong relationships, it kind of seems obvious when you start talking about it, but it's not something that people think about. They just think, I've got my family, I've got my friends, that should be good enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think people, that's a pretty general statement to say have good relationships.
Yeah.
I think if you got to the individual person and they said, you know, I don't think I have great friends or great family, I don't feel very connected.
Sure.
They would have no idea what to do often about how do I go about changing that? What's the reason for me not having great relationships? And what are the barriers that I've either put in front of myself or that my society has for me to have those things?
Yeah. So in your opinion, do you think mental health and mental health disorders are talked about correctly? And if not, how should we be framing conversations about mental health?
I think it is talked about correctly in a lot of places. I think there are a lot of good sources of information out there.
Okay.
But I think it's really hard to tell a good source of information from a bad source of information.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say the biggest kind of misconception is that it is separate from the physical. People think about mental health as they think about their mind as something that is just separate from their body, that they don't really correspond. Like if they don't notice that if they're not eating well, that they will have different thoughts or different emotions than when they eat well, or vice versa. If you have good friendships and you're social life is good, you are more likely to also eat well and not try to do those compensatory behaviors like eating badly or smoking cigarettes or to reduce those stress, to reduce the stress or get through life. A lot of those physical health things are the things that deteriorate when you don't have a good relational or mental health.
So everyone obviously has a brain, and whether we want to admit it or not, mental health affects.
I don't know.
Yeah. Brain is subjective. Yes, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, mental health does affect each and every one of us every single day, whether we admit it or not. Whether it's us as individuals, our coworkers, our family, our friends. But if someone is unsure about their mental health, and or they're new to the concept of mental health care, how do you think they should begin addressing their mental health?
I think that is one of the main things we're trying to address with Thera.
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest, they do research on this, on help seeking, and the biggest reasons people, the biggest barriers people have are, one, not being able to afford it is a really big barrier, not being able to afford it or have access. Another is stigma. People will start to judge themselves. And I would say that's probably the biggest thing to do first is to recognize that a mental health problem is the same as a physical health problem. If you broke your leg,
yeah,
you wouldn't kind of judge yourself about that. People wouldn't treat you differently. They wouldn't say that that's your fault and you have to just walk on it now.
Yeah.
So that would be the first thing is trying to reduce that stigma for yourself.
Okay.
And try to get over that. And then the other thing is, because about 40% of people who say that they needed help within the last year will seek help. So there's a whole 60% of people who will never actually start the process of seeking help, which is amazing. It's amazing and kind of sad. And I think it gives context for me about why the world is the way that it is. If 60% of people are going through something that's significant enough to get mental health treatment for, but they say, you know, I'm not going to address this, the ripple effect that has through our society just is huge.
Yeah.
And so that's the first thing, is stigma. The next thing is, when you do go to get help, how do you find a resource that you can trust? A resource that when you're looking online, how can you trust the resource that you're looking at? The next thing is trust, because right now the way that it works is most resources, most places have paid to be in that listing.
Okay.
For example, Heather, for you, do you know what would you do if a friend came to you or a family member came to you and said, you know, I'm having real anxiety, I'm having panic attacks. What would be the first thing that you would do?
Well, I think that I would definitely open up my doors and say, hey, you can tell me about this, let's talk about this, and let them speak to it instead of giving them advice or judging them, for sure. Mm-hmm. Giving them the room to expose what it is that they are feeling. But beyond that. I'm kind of lost. I mean, I would think, okay, well, maybe there are resources, like there's the suicide hotline, there's mental health within different medical plans. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, I'm kind of stuck.
Yeah, and that's kind of your experience is the average experience of people have that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And 1 in 5 people, some estimates say 1 in 4 will experience a mental health problem in their lifetime.
Yeah.
That's serious enough to get help. And so it really does affect every single family. That's one thing that I really want people to understand is this is not something that this will affect you at some point in your lifetime. And there will be a moment that you need to get help for yourself or somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest thing is trust the place that you're going to, because right now, we believe about it being free for people to find help and free and easy.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the reasons that it's important for it to be free is that the profit incentive that's inherent in any of the paid directories or anywhere that people are being paid to be listed in something, say Google, or there are different paid directories out there.
Sure.
that profit incentive is part of, is a big part of the problem. The people that you're searching for on those mm-hmm. are not necessarily the best resource for you. They're the ones that have paid the most to be in that.
Yeah.
And the directory or the place has to distribute those clicks or those referrals across as many people as they can so that people keep paying them. So that's one of the issues we're trying to address. But if somebody, it's a hard question to answer because it really depends on the situation.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody was having a severe panic attack, I wouldn't say to them, or say if somebody was suicidal, I wouldn't say, oh yeah, go online and kind of look it up. I would want them to call that crisis line.
Yeah.
Which is why it's important to have one location where people can go in and look and say, okay, what is the thing that I need, and find it there, not bounce around to different websites. But that's, I think the biggest thing is starting with a trusted resource, and there are a lot of places online that you can look. But there are some things, depending on the resource that you're looking for, I think it's about trying to find a trusted resource that can refer you to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of online places. And then also being able to verify that the resource that you're going to is a valid resource. That's one thing that is really difficult right now.
Yeah. And for the mental health directory, is that something that is available now for people to access, or is there future elements to that?
There's definitely future elements to it, but right now we are live. Thero.org
mm-hmm.
is the location. That's our landing page.
Okay.
If you want to just go to the resources, it's thero.org/resources. We have about 22,000 resources there already listed. We're a little light on therapists, which is part of why we're trying to get the word out about this.
Sure.
It's free for therapists to list in the directory,
okay.
to add themselves to the directory. As long as you're licensed and it's your private practice that's out there, it's free to list. And we're spending about $10,000 in Google AdWords. We have a grant for that to promote it per month, and every month. And, so that's a free live thing that anybody can use. And it's actually going pretty well. So far, we've had a great response to it. And there are some other projects that we've launched that we're really excited about.
So about crisis therapy in the aftermath of things like natural disasters or mass shootings, of course, those things have risen over the past couple of mm-hmm. decades. In your opinion, do you think mental health care for survivors of incidents like that is getting better? Is it getting worse, or is it staying about the same?
I think it's changing a little bit because of, I think the stigma is being brought down.
Okay.
I think even within the past 3 to 5 years, when I started there, it was about 8 years ago that I started working on this.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, stigma seemed to be much higher than it was. And I'm hoping that will continue to decrease. But the actual people getting help for that is something that I haven't seen that number really change a lot. And the system that is in place is not sufficient in my mind. We actually had launched in 2018, we had launched the Crisis Therapy Project.
Okay.
That is about... It's about using our directory to empower therapists to be able to self-deploy and say, if a crisis happens in my area, I want therapists to be able to go and say, I am going to offer free therapy for this because
yeah.
I have space in my practice and I want to be able to help my community heal. So what we do is we reach out to therapists, ask them if they're willing, when there is a crisis,
mm-hmm.
ask them if they're willing to offer free therapy, and therapists can go into their listing and say, I'm going to add that information in there. And we've pre-populated searches for things like, we've actually made a response for a number of shootings. We're focusing on shootings right now mainly.
Yeah.
And attacks, because that's one of the most... honestly, just one of the saddest things that I've seen, and one of the biggest indicators, I think, of our society getting sicker,
yeah,
mental health wise.
So let's say someone hears this podcast and they want to begin giving to Thero. Can you talk about what donations do for your organization?
Yeah, so a big part of what donations do is it helps fund the outreach for things like the Crisis Therapy Project.
Okay.
The outreach for the Crisis Therapy Project and then the coordination of getting those resources listed in the directory. We have volunteers. We have a resource team that we've built, and we're trying to grow larger. And it's about managing those volunteers in a Wikipedia-style way of saying, we need you to go in and edit those listings. Look up the information, see if it's out of date. Keep all of that information up to date, because a lot of directories, that's one of the other problems, is they don't have accurate information. You call a few numbers and you don't get an answer and you kind of stop calling.
Yeah.
So the main part of funding goes to doing outreach for the Crisis Therapy Project or updating our resource directory to make sure it's accurate and that people get help.
Okay.
It takes $10 runs our website for one day.
Okay.
The functionality of the website, we've made it super inexpensive to run, specifically because we want our nonprofit to have legs. We want it to be able to go into the future with very easy to maintain,
mm-hmm.
and for many people to come on board and to help out with it.
So before we go, do you have any upcoming events or programs you'd like to highlight?
Well, the biggest thing that we're working on now, and the thing that I'm most excited about, is the Crisis Therapy Project.
Okay.
And that's really, if they're, the biggest way that people can help is if you're a therapist and you're licensed, sign up for Thero, add your listing to the directory, it's free.
Mm-hmm.
But especially if you are in one of those areas like Gilroy or Dayton or El Paso or Aurora, we're fielding responses for those right now. And if you sign up, you can add yourself and say, I want to offer free therapy, and people can verify that you have a license really easily, and also that you have qualifications to do those types of therapy. But one of the main things that I'm really excited about is the license verification tool, where people can go on Thero, click on the license number of a provider,
mm-hmm.
and it will jump them to the licensing board in the state that the person is licensed for the correct license type.
Okay.
Which is that's another big problem that people have, and I would say 95% of people don't know they can verify a therapist's license, and that's why we've integrated right into the directory an easy way to do that for people.
Very nice. Well, Paul, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast and talking about Thero and the great work you're doing with this directory and your organization.
Yeah, thank you, Heather, for having the combined fund drive. It's a really amazing program you guys have. Appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, that was our interview with Paul Berry, Executive Director at Thero. So we talked about this a little bit before he and I spoke. Good sleep, good diet, strong relationships. Those are
right.
Three things that he mentioned that really improve your physical health, but also your mental health.
Interesting.
It's true. I mean, if you think about the things that make you feel good and make you feel all right with the world, you don't live in a pigsty and feel really good.
Right.
You don't eat just bags of sugar food and
mm-hmm.
feel good.
Mm-hmm.
You don't sit on the couch all day long and feel good.
Right.
You have to do things like get sleep and eat well and then talk
get
to
moving.
Your friends.
Yeah.
Get moving.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Connect yeah. with family. Connect
Start socializing.
One-on-one. Socializing. Yeah. Look at us. Look at us socializing.
Look at
right
us
now.
Talking right now.
We're talking.
To each other. Looking each other in the eye.
This is awkward.
Don't blink. Staring contest, go!
Staring contest. You blinked first.
Well, because I was
well,
laughing.
You looked away.
Whatever.
Yeah, okay. So,
but the
1-0?
Yes, 1-0 you, right, for now. I think it's really great that you're able to speak with Thero on this. They're such an interesting organization. Last year, actually, I spoke with Paul about during disaster reliefs.
Okay.
And one of the things they talk about is during an emergency,
yeah.
Their assistance, right then and there. They are able to go all around the world through their providers. And I just think it's a really unique organization that when we were talking about, you know, whether it was hurricanes or wildfires, these people that are displaced, it's their family, their
yeah.
kids, pets, these things that are, you know, it's more than they just lose property.
Yes.
It is.
There is a mental toll.
There is a mental toll. And You know, making sure that you're in a place that you have the strength of going through that, mm-hmm. or at least tools in your pocket to be able to rebuild, not only you mentally, to be able to help your family and help your children get through the rebuild of your own lives.
Yes.
I think it's just really amazing that Thero has this directory that really can give anybody an opportunity to find yes. somebody in need.
The Crisis Therapy Project is what they call yes. it. And right now on their page, they have locations specific to certain tragedies.
That's great.
They still have availability for people who need help from the Las Vegas mm-hmm. shooting. Parkland, Thousand Oaks, Aurora, Illinois, Gilroy, California, and they're loading up stuff right now for Dayton, Ohio, and El Paso. Yeah.
And I think what's important that you said those is people think, oh, well, the Vegas shooting is gone.
Yeah.
No.
No, it's not gone for
it's
the people.
It's not gone
who are
for
there.
Those people. No. Those kids of Parkland are not over it. No. Like, you don't get over these tragedies.
It will affect you the rest of your life.
It will be with you for the rest of your life.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean that you're always going to have therapy yeah. every single day.
Yeah.
But these are things that you can fall back towards mm-hmm. to make sure you can get through the next day.
Yeah, getting to the tools yeah. and the resources yeah. to cope with what mm-hmm. happened. And then, yeah, you're going to have great days and days where it's not on your mind up right in the forefront. But there's going to be bad days.
Yeah, and I think what's really great is to recognize that, you know, these aren't things that, you know, it's a one and done session.
Yeah.
You know, you go back. And
you don't
go
get
back.
Cured
no,
with it, one no, you, 50-minute therapy session.
No, and that's, and I think... You know, even saying the word cured, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
these are things that events that happen to your life that affect you, and mm-hmm. you are going to be living with these, but you can make your day easier with organizations like Thero that can assist you in finding the help that you need.
Exactly. So it's a great organization, and their directory is quite amazing, and definitely check it out. If you're looking for someone in your area, or for yourself or for your family members, go check it out, Thero, and we'll put the link up for the Crisis Therapy Project as well as their page so you can check out the directory. So, upcoming events. We'll mention it one last time.
One last farewell to
Mr. Philip Kerrigan. I was going to say Mr. Philip P. Kerrigan, but that's not his middle name.
No.
That'd be funny. Philip K. Kerrigan, Philip G. Kerrigan, Philip ABCD Kerrigan. He is gone.
He is, and as just a reminder, the reason that we keep bringing it up at the end of the podcast, because we know you
it's
guys...
campaign time.
It is campaign time. A lot of people do reach out directly to him. So if you do have questions or comments, please just contact CFD. You can reach us by email or by phone, and that's cfd@sos.wa.gov, or you can always give us a call at 360-902-4162. We really do appreciate all of Philip's hard work this past 10 years working for the Secretary of State's office, being the program manager for the Combined Fund Drive. We really couldn't be to where we are today without him. But again, if you have questions, please feel free to reach out to the CFD staff, and we can help you just as well.
Absolutely. And this is October now. We are in the campaign, and we have wrapped up our first week to give yes. every year. It is bigger and bigger yeah. and bigger. It yeah. is always one of these kind of feel good things for me, yeah. for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, we have it's all these people who donate and that who volunteer for charities.
Oh, yeah. And they're just the kickoff that they do is like, I just love hearing volunteers setting up coffees in their lobby,
yes.
getting people registered. It's just such a cool experience to just see volunteers get so stoked for the first week to give.
Yes.
So thank you, everybody that participated. A huge thank you to WSECU for their sponsorship this year. We couldn't do it without you. Really, we seriously couldn't do this
yes,
promotion without
true.
You.
Absolutely.
So we huge, huge thank you to them.
Upcoming on October 19th, it is the CFT Masquerade Ball. It is happening in the Capitol building.
Literally 2 weeks away.
Wow, don't say that to me ever again. October 19th, it is at 7 p.m.
Yep.
Food, drinks, casino
dancing.
Night, dancing, DJ, auction, Woo! Art, yeah. and trivia, pub style. There's
parlor games. Yes.
We
yes.
also have charities in the building.
We're very excited. We have about roughly 15 to 20 charities. Yeah,
20 charities.
So it's really great. It's a fun charitable night. Proceeds of this event do go to the Combined Fund Drive, which goes straight back into charities so we can get more of your dollar to them.
Absolutely. And the last thing we got listed for October before we move into November is the Bite of L&I. It's happening October 29th at the L&I headquarters off Linderson. It is in the auditorium. It is fabulous. Food from all over the world. Highly recommend you go check it out. Support those volunteers over there and get some delicious food.
Yay, yay.
All right. So thank you, everybody, for joining us for this episode about comprehensive mental health. We will see you next time.
See ya.